Blog Talk Radio.
Hey guys, I want to start with 13Z, Devery Henderson, Chris Ivory, Green Right Nasty, Z Peel, Fake Slash 37, Buster Bluff, Naked Right, X Post, Y Bite. That'll be the first call.
Physical play, the execution. Just keep coming and we'll find a way to win. Because the opportunity is there. The opportunity is there.
Atlanta clinches their third consecutive winning season.
Four more games. Four-game winning streak. That's all we have to do.
The Eagles have pulled off the most remarkable win I have ever seen. Eric Berry, the biggest defensive play of the year for Kansas City.
It is now a one-game season. December is our month. It is time to go to work.
We do it. We pick each other up. We play football like we're Steelers, like we are a team.
Touchdown! What a catch by Santonio Holmes! And the Jets answer right back!
The Bears have won, and it sets up a colossal renewal of the oldest and best rivalry in the NFL.
We got a game with immortality. He takes it into the end zone himself, diving for the pylon.
Right now he's going to run. He's into the end zone. He's
Super Bowl 45, the Pittsburgh Steelers, the Green Bay Packers.
It is finally here.
Rodgers play action, looks to the end zone. Rainbow Stewart and Nelson. He's got it. In stunning fashion, the Green Bay Packers take a 14-0 lead. It's all in. And then for the touchdown. Pittsburgh right back in it. Nobody's going anywhere.
All right, let's go now. Keep that rhythm going. One play at a time. We're going to be champions tonight. All right, let's go.
Rodgers looks around, throws right side of the end zone.
Whether or not that happens this year still remains to be seen. Welcome in, everyone, to the fastest 60 minutes in sports. Your host right here, Vinnie Moore, 10:06 for your Sunday morning. Welcome again for those of you on the sports wires all across this nation, 619-639-4747. Again, 619-639-4747 to join the wonderful conversation all about the world of sports. We're going to talk a little bit of Major League Baseball, the playoff standings. We're going to talk a little bit about the NHL lockout that's going on that just recently started. We're going to talk about a little CFL for the new the fans in the Canadian market as well. The Calgary Stampeders making the four-game winning streak, as well as setting some records in the blowout win over Winnipeg most recently, and a little bit of college football. A lot of fun things going on there. People thought Notre Dame wouldn't be able to hold their own against Michigan State, and all they did was roll. People thought USC was one of the best five teams in college football and found out yesterday that for the fourth time in a row, they still can't beat Stanford. Go figure that out. First and foremost, welcome to the fastest 60 minutes in sports. Again, Vinnie Moore on the wire with you right now. Major League Baseball, winding it down, getting more and more exciting as we get closer and closer. We're 145, or 140, in most cases 145. A few teams have paid 146 into a season that now is down to less than 20 games to its conclusion. The Yankees and Baltimore Orioles have it going on in the American League East. Let's just run this thing down real quick so you guys know exactly what's going on. The Yankees hold a one-game lead after the Orioles have lost the last two. So that one game really means more toward the wild card than anything else, because Baltimore either has to win the division, largely because the Oakland A's in the West have literally almost a three-game lead over them if they don't win that division in terms of the wild card. So your division leaders right now, the Yankees by one game over the Orioles, the Sox, the White Sox, one-game lead over the Tigers. The Texas has a two-game lead over Oakland in the American League. So what does that mean for the wild card standings as we go right now? The Oakland A's have a – well, again, and I keep forgetting this, guys, forgive me, that we have expanded the playoffs to two teams in baseball now. So both Oakland and Baltimore actually sit in the catbird seat. The odds-on team out right now is the Los Angeles Angels, 2.5 games back in the wild card. Yeah, just pray for me. I'm still coming off last year's rules and the expansion of Major League Baseball, which, again, for markets is a great thing for those of us who commentated. Yeah, I maybe need to do a little bit more due diligence on some of the rule changes, so forgive me in that regard. To the National League, the Washington Nationals dominating the National League East right now by 6.5 games over the Atlanta Braves. Cincinnati has all but closed the door on everyone in the Central with an 11-game lead over the Cardinals. The National League West, San Francisco, has a 7.5-game lead over the Dodgers. Again, that is largely decided. So what does that mean for the two teams that would represent the wild card in the National League? That means the Atlanta Braves and the Los Angeles Dodgers kind of sit in the catbird seat, except for the issue with the Dodgers. They have the same record as the St. Louis Cardinals. Now, I'm telling you right now, the last team you want to see make the playoffs in Major League Baseball is the St. Louis Cardinals. They become a tremendously different team when you get late in the season, and I don't know why that is, whether that's La Russa or their current coach or whatever. There's a different air around the St. Louis Cardinals. Now, they're only 6 games over 500, as are the Dodgers, but when you expanded the league, you've opened up an opportunity for a team that may not be as good since Pujols left to just find a way to get there. And sneaking up quietly behind them still in this hunt are the Pittsburgh Pirates. And I know that's, for those of you baseball purists over the last 10, 15 years, it may surprise you to hear the Pirates in the conversation for playoffs. But then again, wouldn't that be the case with the Washington Nationals as well? So that's your Major League Baseball love. Let's touch briefly on the NBA front. Dwight Howard's finding that people actually don't like him, and he's still stunned by that. Shaquille O'Neal comes out and says the Knicks, not the Nets, are the team to beat in New York. Dwayne Wade still says LeBron James is getting better. That's kind of hard to believe since he's already pegged as the best player in the league. Chris Bosh considering playing center. Jeff Green fully recovered for Boston. The Clippers complete the signing of ex-Laker Barnes. Elijah wanted to visit the Knicks and work with Amari and Melo. I'm not sure what that's all about. Maybe they're just grooming some things up. The Knicks are going to be very, very good. Okay, I'm not sure what that one. We're going to ignore that one because I'm not sure where that one's going, and we can't press the envelope too close to the barriers there. Let's go NHL, the lockout. Around the league, there are massive gates being slammed shut with brand new VLE and master locks put on these things. And such is even the case in the United Center for the Blackhawks. The NFL officially locks out the players as the collective bargaining agreement has come to an end. This could not be a worse sign for the fans. Again, owners, they went through this a few years ago. They lost an entire season. It's a shame that they've yet to really resolve a long-term collective bargaining agreement for such a great game. And for those of us up in the Canadian market, this is a dagger to a fall into the winter time when so much hinges on the game that we love. So disappointing for those of us in Chicago, incredibly disappointing. We've got a great team in our Blackhawks. There's a great team in Calgary here in the Flames, and this lockout couldn't have come at a worse time. You know my position on lockouts and seasons and games that aren't played. We went through the same situation with the NBA, and for lack of a better word, I ripped them. And don't expect me to be any kinder to the National Hockey League as well. It is a business. I understand that. And if you didn't have the rules and restrictions in place to begin with, this is why you get into situations such as this. But enough of that. So much for that. It is week two in the National Football League. Yours truly had a great week last week of prognostication. Don't know how this one's going to go yet. We got off to a good start in the fact that I did have Green Bay beating Chicago. Unfortunately, those are my guys. I just felt like going into Lambeau Field was going to be a little bit of a challenge. Not in the essence of the crowd or the setting as much as it's never a good idea to be the traveling quarterback and then telling the media that the cornerbacks, telling the cornerbacks in Green Bay good luck before you get to a game and giving them that kind of fuel. Green Bay's defense, which is typically in the lower third of rankings usually throughout the season, played at a very high level. Now, were they better than the Bears' defense? No. Let's get down to some facts. Final score was 23-10. That is fact. Another fact, the Packers' offense scored one touchdown, three field goals. Fact. The Bears gave up seven sacks. Cutler threw four interceptions. Fact. A couple of those interceptions, you can put on the wide receivers for not coming to get the ball. A couple of those interceptions, poor thrown ball by Jay Cutler. The one long pass to Brandon Marshall, which was greatly underthrown. Again, the organization, that's one of those where you go to work thinking you're going to have a good day and just have one of the roughest days of your season. And, I know it's probably dangerous to compare this team to a championship team of the 80s, but if you recall when they were 12-0 and they went into play Miami in that Monday night game and unfortunately did not come out on the winning side of that equation, I think Mike Ditka said it best that was the best thing that could have happened for that team because it allowed them to refocus. Sometimes they'd gotten a little full of themselves knowing they were that good. Well, such is the case when, again, your quarterback has some swagger, he has some confidence, and certainly he's supposed to be that guy that is at the top and wants to tell the world how great his team is and expects things. So when Clay Matthews starts blowing by your left tackle that many times and you want to go out to your left tackle and kind of punch him, but he happens to be 6'8" and several 300 pounds, and you need that guy to do a greater job than what he's doing. You find a way to kind of rally it. So uniquely enough, you do what you've got to do, and you make it work. But this this now makes, of course, the Bears 1-1. Green Bay is also now 1-1 after coming off the loss to the Niners. And over the next few weeks, I think you're going to start to see a modest separation as the Packers' schedule is significantly harder than the Bears. And I think you'll see the Bears start to dominate and start to grow as they start to simply feel themselves a little bit more. Now that they know it's not going to be a cakewalk. And not to say that they didn't work hard. They certainly did. They did not look unprepared, but they certainly looked like they were stunned at what Dom Capers had done. And Capers has always done this. If you're Lovie Smith in the Bears organization, there's got to be a level of that organization that simply says, we want to do this again. We want another chance. Now, again, they're going to come to Chicago at some point in the year. You're going to get another shot, obviously. And obviously in a different setting, and the reality is, well, I think the outcome will be different. I think Chicago will probably win that. I expect the Bears and Packers to split this year. That was my prognostication. I would be stunned if Green Bay came to Chicago as it's currently constituted and won. That's just me being, of course, maybe a Chicago Bears homer, but with all due respect to Green Bay and them trying to get better, if you put it really truly into a, you know, and I know that you play the game on the field, but if you actually put it between the white lines and everything goes simply by based purely on talent and skill set, you got a pretty tight game. And I think in Chicago, the fans at Soldier Field will make a difference in that game. But that comes later on. Today, week two in the National Football League, and I want to chew your ear off about, you know, my love for the Bears and actually my respect for Green Bay because it's actually very good. There are players on that Green Bay squad that you'd love to take home to your family because they're just really nice guys. They're good guys. So unlike the hated rivalry that once was Green Bay-Chicago, there's such a mutual respect now because, again Green Bay, a great program. They've won Super Bowls. Bears haven't seen a Super Bowl. They got there in 06 and certainly haven't won one since 85. But, again, both teams have great squads and look for them to make some noise throughout the season. So it's 10:17 for your morning. Let's run some things down on the National Football League schedule for today. Kansas City to Buffalo, New Orleans travels to Carolina. There's a story there we'll share with you shortly. Cleveland goes to Cincinnati. Minnesota goes to Indy. The Texans take on Jacksonville. The Raiders, Miami. Arizona, New England. Tampa Bay goes to the Giants. Baltimore is in Philly today. Dallas is in Seattle. Washington is in St. Louis. The Jets are in Pittsburgh. The Tennessee Titans are in San Diego. The Lions are at San Francisco against the 49ers. And Denver on Monday night is at Atlanta. That's going to have some fun viewership for those of you who just want to see some a little high-octane offense, Denver-Atlanta. I'm not picking on either one of the defenses, but they're going up against high-octane. It may be an understatement when Peyton Manning and the Denver Broncos come into to the Georgia Dome when weather will not be a factor and it'll be a fast track and they're going to have a whole lot of fun. So let's get into a little bit of analysis on this. Let me look at my obligations real quick. It's 10:18 in the morning. All right, want to do college football first? All right, we'll table this and we'll come back and let's talk college football and what happened yesterday. Now, for those of you who missed it, Matt Barkley and the USC Trojans trying to, for the first time in his college career, beat the Stanford Cardinals. Now, keep in mind, the first couple of years he played Stanford, that was against Jim Harbaugh's Stanford Cardinals. Of course, Harbaugh's now the head coach of the 49ers. Yet the trend doesn't stop. The Stanford Cardinals are a good football team. And if you just ask Matt Barkley and the rest of the USC Trojans, I think they'll tell you that those guys over there are pretty doggone good at Stanford. So the reality is a 21-ranked Stanford team at home playing against the number 2-ranked USC Trojans, the defense was the real story. Barkley sacked, I want to say, 5 times in this game. And the bottom line is Stanford's pressure, their running game, control tempo. The next thing you know, game's over. Stanford's on top, 21-14. And USC and Matt Barkley's hopes of a national title have just simply waned, gone out the window. But don't take my word for it. It is what it is. Let's run down your top 25 scores for yesterday. Number 25, BYU loses to Utah, 24-21. I love it when upsets occur. Number 24, Arizona rolls, 56-0. Number 22, UCLA, a 37-6 win over Houston. Number 19, Louisville, a 39-34 win over North Carolina. Florida upset. Well, not really an upset. I mean, many people thought Tennessee would win that game, but Florida, the number 18th ranked Florida Gators, wins 37-20 over Tennessee. Number 17, Michigan rolls over Mass, 63-13. TCU, a 20-6 win over Kansas. Kansas State, ranked number 15th in the nation, 35-21 over UNT. Texas rolls 66-31 over Mississippi. There will be some questions on the defense as to why they gave up 31 points. Pitt upsets the apple cart for Va Tech by winning 35-17. Okay, what did you guys just do? You're just going to roll me away there. Okay, there we go. Oklahoma State, 35-20 over Cal. That was actually a very entertaining game. Clemson, a 41-7 win over Furman. Well, let's just say that they're there for the money. All right, Notre Dame shocks the world by, well, I say shocks only because they were 20th ranked, beating a number 10 Michigan State team 20-3. Number 9, Western Virginia, 42-12 over JMU. South Carolina, number 8 now in the nation, 49-6 win over UAB. Georgia, the Bulldogs, 56-20 over FAU. Florida State, 52-0 over Wake Forest. Really lopsided blowout win that was on national television yesterday. Oregon rolls over TNTC, 63-14. That was expected. Number 3, LSU, 63-14 over Idaho. Of course, number 21, Stanford, shocks USC, 21-14. And number 1, Alabama goes into Arkansas, a game that much thought was going to be more competitive than it was, and just rolls 52-0 against the Arkansas Razorback. What can I tell you? USC reeling a little bit today. The disappointment early in the season now, because you're going to have to get a whole lot of help if you're going to be in the conversation as far as being a great team or national title team. You're going to have to contend with the fact that you lost to a Stanford squad that now you need Stanford to play very, very well to justify the loss. Again, Alabama pounds Arkansas. Virginia Tech looked incredibly sloppy against Pitt. Penn State finally wins a game under O'Brien. They beat Navy, but then again, nowadays, who doesn't? Ohio State held off a really good Cal team. Okay, I think I may have, did I refer to them as Oklahoma State? I'm sorry, that was Ohio State. I apologize. That was my bad. But the college football world, a good one, a fun one. If you watched Michigan play yesterday, you got to see the best of Denard Robinson, the 3 touchdowns and 1 rush touchdown. The 1 rushing touchdown was just literally magical. Left side, right side, and flat out just outran the entire squad. So much for showing up against Michigan and having a say-so in the outcome, because that was largely a blowout as well. 10:22 in your morning. We're going to be, as usual, NFL heavy. It's week 2 in the National Football League. I've given you my little spiel, kind of my little soapbox rant over Green Bay Chicago, a game that really, even though it was 23-10, look, as much as I'd love to say it was closer than the score, there were just a matter of – give credit where credit is due. Special teams play by Green Bay certainly separated the two teams. Green Bay's defense played out of its mind. But it is the Sunday now, and the Sunday brings a new breed, new hope, a new resolve for teams trying to do it. So week 2 predictions, it's 10:23. We'll probably push over a little bit of time today, guys, but that's okay. Lions, Chiefs today. That doesn't sound right. It's Niners Lions today. That's the one that's going to be interesting, because that is the Harbaugh Schwartz after the old issue with the handshake last year that sparked all kinds of controversy. Anyway, we'll get to that soon enough. So today, last year the Buffalo Bills crumbled after losing Freddie Jackson, who was as important to his team as the quarterback is to many other clubs. So this looks like a get-well game for the Kansas City Chiefs. Certainly their defense, that was on the wrong side of Matt Ryan's blowout last weekend. Prognostication, Kansas City 23, Buffalo 13. The Saints and Panthers. Who had the New Orleans Saints co-starring in someone else's show last Sunday? What caught the coaches off guard wasn't that the Washington Redskins threw Baylor-style stuff at them with Robert Griffin III. It was the amount of it, in a way that prepared them for Cam Newton and the Carolina Panthers this week. New Orleans 27, Carolina 17. The Cincinnati Bengals sure didn't look like the team I thought it would be on Monday night, and the Cleveland Browns defense figures to make things tough on Andy Dalton in a short week. But I like the Bengals' prideful defense to be equal to the challenge here and keep Brandon Whedon on the skid. So look for a Cincinnati to win that game, 14-6, maybe with an A.J. Green touchdown. Minnesota and Indianapolis, just a feeling. Andrew Luck may have thrown 3 picks against Chicago, but kept fighting against an overmatched offensive line. Of course, playing now at home for real for the first time, he should look a little bit more like Andrew Luck than did in the preseason, which is to say he'll riddle the Minnesota Vikings defense. Look for Indianapolis to put up some points. That offense can score. Reggie Wayne's playing lights out right now. Minnesota 38, Vikings 21. You should probably see one or two touchdowns from Adrian Peterson in that game. But Indianapolis, a little bit too much firepower. Incredible to think that 23 minutes into their season, the Houston Texans trailed the Miami Dolphins 3-0. 7 minutes later, it was 24-3 Houston. That speaks to me all around brilliance of the Texans roster, which will be too much for today's Jacksonville Jaguars to handle. Bottom line, Texans 34, Jacksonville 17. One scout who follows Ryan Tannehill in the Big 12 said this week that it was asking a lot of him for him to play as well as a rookie based on his experience. He's in for some trouble this year. The Oakland Raiders did show on Monday night that they can indeed create some trouble for a quarterback. Look for Tannehill and the Miami Dolphins to lose Monday night to the Raiders. It won't be a stellar game. You might see nothing but three Janikowski field goals, and that actually may be enough to beat the Dolphins 12-15-9. All right. New England Patriots coach Bill Belichick pulled out this stat the other day. The Arizona Cardinals have won 8 of their last 10. It's true, and it's because of an overlooked defense that will give Tom Brady and company a little bit of trouble, just not nearly enough to overcome their own challenged offense. Look for New England to put up about 24-27 points against an Arizona that may get a Patrick Peterson touchdown return, because I don't think their offense is going to be able to do much. Patriots roll 24-7. Greg Schiano's jersey homecoming with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers will be a nice story and all, but it's hard to believe the New York Giants will come out with their guns blazing, given that they had 10 days to prepare after that season-opening loss to the Cowboys. This is the Giants, the Buccaneers. Interesting. In New York. Giants roll 26-13. Sorry, guys. Great as Joe Flacco looked on Monday, the challenge is different this week with a disruptive Philadelphia Eagles defensive line facing as a Baltimore Ravens offense front that still has questions to answer. To pass this test, Flacco might need to do more on his feet. Yeah, he may have to run. The Eagles defense can fly around pretty well. I don't think the Eagles have enough to beat the Ravens. I think Flacco's playing at a very, very high level. Look for the Ravens to take this one 24-17. The Seattle Seahawks defense is, like the unit in Arizona, better than most realize and will give Tony Romo fits. But the Dallas Cowboys corners will make things tough on Seattle's receivers and Russell Wilson. I do not see Seattle winning this game. Sorry, Seattle fans. Sorry, Chris and the guys on the Northwest. This one goes to Dallas. Dallas should go to 2-0. The Redskins and Rams. Would you believe this could be the best game of the weekend? The St. Louis Rams didn't win last week, but they showed promise in Detroit, especially on defense. And this looks like a pretty decent spot for them to get win number one of the Jeff Fisher era. I say that only because they're playing well enough on defense. They fly around at the ball. If they can disrupt RG3, certainly they can get this win. Now, can Sam Bradford stay upright? Can he deliver the ball? If he can, look for the Rams to shine. I know you don't want to believe this. Those of you, Mason, those guys out there in Washington, the Rams 24, the Redskins 21. Be a fun game to watch. Be close. Look for a Brian Arakpo appearance as well. All right. I'm hearing things flapping in my ear. What's popping in my ear? I'm not sure what that's about, but we're going to roll on without that. Okay. 619-639-4747. 619-639-4747. Back to the wonderful world of prognostication. All right, Pittsburgh and the Jets. Even though the Pittsburgh Steelers didn't win in week one, both teams acquitted themselves well last week. As I stated in my column that I write on the East Coast, I really like the vibe in the locker room. But this is one of those where it's much easier to think that each team will come out 1-1. So I'll go for that flimsy logic. Look for the Steelers to just edge out the Jets in this game. That's what should happen. Again, you play the game on the field, is that right? All right. moving on, San Diego and Tennessee. I'm not even sure why we're talking about this one. The Tennessee Titans' season-opening loss exposed problems on their offensive line. In fact, one of the officials said Chris Johnson's struggles were about 80% the fault of his blockers, not good when facing what looks like a revitalized Charger defensive front line. San Diego rolls 27-10. The Niners and the Lions, again, the handshake bowl as it's now being called. We're not getting the nuts and bolts on this. You've got a great defense versus a solid offense, but I think the Niners prevail in this one 20-17. I think Alex Smith does just enough, along with the help of Gore and Vernon Davis, to get that done. Denver and Atlanta, the Monday night matchup. This one is just so much fun. If you have nothing else to do, get all the chores done before you get to Monday evening. Get dinner, maybe order dinner so you don't have to cook, and sit down at about 8:30 Eastern Time, 7:30 Central, 6:30 Mountain Time, and enjoy what we think is going to be a fantastic matchup, especially if you're like me and you think Matt Ryan's Week 1 performance was a sign of good things to come, and Peyton Manning and the Denver Broncos win, though, because of some... Yeah, because it's something that the 36-year-old veteran showed against Pittsburgh, adjusting to what he is rather than trying to be what he was, lends you to believe that this could just be an absolute Donnybrook. And it's going to come down to which team has a defense and has the defense enough to actually show up and get a stop. You're going to see easily 60 points in this game. I don't know what Vegas has as far as the over and the under, but if you see less than 55 in this game, I'll be stunned. I think the Broncos are going to put up at least 30 points. I think the Falcons may put up at least 30 points. In the end, I think it'll be the Broncos defense. They does just a little bit more than the Atlanta defense, and the Broncos come out of Atlanta a winner. That is my prognostication for your week 2 in the National Football League. We're going to talk a little bit more about that as we move forward. But if you don't watch that Monday night game, I don't think you're a fan, because that's the game. You don't have to be a Bronco fan. You don't have to be a Falcon fan. You just want to be a football fan and watch a great game. That is a great one to watch. Back after this.
Getting the whole family ready for high-definition TV is easy with Turbo HD by Dish Network. You get more TV for less money, including Disney's Channel HD with hit series Wizards of Waverly Place, Hannah Montana, and The Sweet Life on Deck. With over 120 HD channels available now, there's something for everyone. And you'll love the savings. Packages start at just $24.99 a month. Call today and get HBO and Starz free for 3 months. To get Disney Channel HD today, call Dish Network.
All your documents, photos, movies, and music at your fingertips all the time. That's the power of the cloud. That's the power of HP WebOS. HP, everybody on.
Quiet, numbskulls, I'm broadcasting.
And we're back. Oh, I love that. Quiet, numbskulls, I'm broadcasting. That's good stuff. Welcome back to the Fastest 60 Minutes Sports. Your host, Vinny Moore, on the wires, looking at you, talking to you, hollering at you. The reality is it's week 2 in the National Football League. One game is already in the books. Green Bay takes care of Chicago 23-10. And we move forward from here, 619-639-4747. Again, 619-639-4747. Rolling with about 26 left on the clock as it clowns down. In the meantime, we've talked a little bit about Major League Baseball, the playoff there. We've talked a little bit about the NHL lockout. We certainly hit our college football highlights. Why do I think I'm forgetting something? Am I? I don't know. Anyway, no, notwithstanding that, and you get your prognostications for the National Football League for week 2. It's a bit of a different air because, again, it's week 2. Whenever there's a Thursday night game, it kind of throws things a little bit out of whack. But thankfully, there's really, really great football that's going to go on this weekend. There's great football that's going to go on Monday night. That's just exciting. Yours truly will have to definitely find a window and a place to sit down somewhere, have something cold to sip on. And I'm not probably going to move. I'll probably post my little thing that says, do not disturb me as I complete my to-do list, and the first 15 items on the to-do list are to watch football. So do us all a favor. Don't call. Don't text during the games. But for those of you who are going to be checking out games around the nation today, do so with a little bit of pride and humility. We just came off celebrating the anniversary of September 11th. And while a lot of us who are sensitive to that time of year because of the tragedy that occurred. I'd also ask you to be a little bit more patient with people around you during this weekend. Don't be surprised if you see a lot of acts of patriotism still on display, even at your sporting venues, the sport bars, and wherever you're actually enjoying your sports entertainment today. We do need to have a quick snippet about the Canadian Football League, and I know some of you are kind of stunned to hear me talk about that, but ladies and gentlemen, the Calgary Stampeders, along with the team from BC. Now, see, this is how you know it's still new to you, okay? Let me get this in front of me. Here we go. Let me get this in front of me. Thank you, guys. The team from BC is 8-3. Calgary's right behind them, 7-4. Let's talk CFL for a minute. I think it's actually gotten a little exciting. I mean, these guys, the CFL is in most cases 11 games into the season. There are two teams that have only played 10. They've already had their bye week. Some have not yet, but 11 games in season, you kind of get a feel for how things are going and where things are actually occurring. And when teams get hot, as is always the case, whether it's NFL or CFL, you simply start to migrate. Things get amped up. The Calgary Stampeders have won their last four. They're literally blowing out the Winnipeg Blue Bombers 44-3. I got to catch in the majority of the second half of this game this past week. And, you know, by the time you tune into the game, you start to realize that, you know, half the crowd is already gone because it was already 30-3. And by the time my friends kind of get back to me, they're like, hey, man, you know, you're missing a lot of this, you know, scoring. Well, I didn't miss too much because I looked up and it was 37-3. I looked up a couple of seconds later, it was 44-3. This was just the absolute whitewash. But the most important thing that came out of the game, not alongside the win, obviously, were the records that were set by Cornish, the running back, and some of the other players in the squad. And as we move forward into their season, we're going to start capturing a little bit more about what's going on there. The BC Lions, of course, currently one game ahead of the Stampeders in the Western Division of the CFL. And again, right behind Calgary is Saskatchewan at 5-5, Edmonton's 5-6. On the eastern side of the equation, the Montreal Alouettes. Am I saying that right? I said they're kind of smooth, didn't I? Yeah, they had Montreal at 6-4. The Toronto Argonauts sitting at 6-5. Again, playing one more. Hamilton's at 4-7. Winnipeg, again, the unfortunate worst team in the league, is at 2-9, and they've lost four straight. And I don't know what they can do. Again, that's a new coaching staff in Winnipeg. They're just going to have to ride that out. But if you're a Calgary Stampeder fan, and I have no reason to think you wouldn't be because that's just a fun team to watch, you got to love the fact that you're putting up points left and right. Yeah, again, you don't have a great defense. You're still giving up, you know, you're giving up 257 points. So not certainly as good as some of the other Ds, but certainly you're just middle of the road. But at 7-4, having won the last four straight, you put yourself in a situation where you can really truly push toward a run of the Grey Cup. You need a little help. So as we head into, well, I guess this is week 12, let's move forward. Let's look at the full schedule of these guys. Let's work our way down, All right, so we go to week 13, and it's Calgary at Saskatchewan, BC at Edmonton. Don't know that there's a whole lot of surprises. Hamilton will take care of business against Winnipeg, and it's not a very good team. Toronto, Montreal will be a lot of fun games to watch. Week 14, it starts to get a little interesting when Edmonton comes to Calgary. And those two programs, even though Calgary is about two games ahead of them right now, they don't like each other. That's my understanding. And of course, they're really close, both of them in the Alberta province, close to each other. It'll be a heated rivalry. There'll be a lot jumping off at McMahon Stadium when that game occurs. And then probably the most important game for fans to be watching and for those who care about the standings is week 15 when Calgary goes to BC. That is a game to be played Saturday, October the 6th. I'll probably be in Chicago on air talking a lot, again, taking that the stress of that league all the way down into the U.S. market. And again, that game's going to be a lot of fun as well. We'll know a lot more by week 15 exactly how that's going to flesh itself out, whether BC is still going to be top. Look for the offense of the Calgary Stampeders to simply continue to show up week in, week out, and make statements on that. I like the Calgary Stampeders to ultimately take over that division and win it all. So that's your CFL love for those of you Canadian football fans. Back to the National Football League. Baltimore Ravens is just in recent news, and Joe Flacco. I guess they were talking a long-term deal. Now that's kind of fallen off the rails. Not sure what that's all about. For your Indianapolis Colts, the starters and centers, Dwight Freeney has a high ankle sprain, so I'm not sure that's going to affect your defensive choices today. Ryan Matthews is unlikely to play for the Chargers, and lo and behold, Dallas's Tony Romo wants an extension. Well, why am I not surprised? I'm sure that's just long-term wanting to get some type of security for him and his family. And, yeah, that's, again, not unusual. All right, let's start our focus to the fantasy side of things, which is, again, kind of we do our stardoms and sit-ums. And, of course, we always share with you guys all the rankings of players in terms, again, who to start, who not to start. And that's just a fun thing that we do. Let's see. We're talking rankings here. Let's run down them. Let's start with the defenses today. It's always a lot of fun. We'd run down the top 10 defenses to start this week. Again, keeping in mind that the Bears have already played. So for those of you who have the Bears, you've already got your fantasy points in tow. But for the top 10, number 10 this week, the Cincinnati Bengals. Number 9, the Dallas Cowboys against Seattle. Number 8, Seattle against Dallas. Seattle's got a good D. Number 7, the New York Jets at Pittsburgh. 6, the Eagles taking care of Baltimore. That's going to be a fun one. Look for the Ravens to probably rank higher than that. Number 6, the Eagles. Number 5, the New England Patriots. Number 4, the Steelers this week. Number 3, again, there's our Ravens at Philadelphia. Number 2, the Niners. The Niners at home against the Lions. They're really giving the Niners a lot of credit against Detroit offense. It's been shown, well, at least last year, to put up some numbers. And the number one defense this week, the Houston Texans, again, on the road at Jacksonville, and I actually agree with that prognostication wholeheartedly. To the kickers next. Top 10 kickers today. Number 10, Rob Baronis out of the Tennessee Titans. Number 9, Alex Henry in Philly. Number 8, Matt Prater in Denver. Number 7, Danny Bailey. Number 6, Matt Bryan. Number 5, Nate Kading. Number 4, Garrett Hartley. Number 3, Janikowski in Oakland. Number 2, David Akers. And number 1, Steven Gostkowski. We said Gostkowski a lot last year playing with the Patriots simply because he put up a ton of numbers. A ton of points. Get it together, Vince. All right, to the tight ends. Number 10, Jared Cook in Tennessee. Number 9, Witten in Dallas. Number 8, Freddie Davis with the Skins. Number 7, Brandon Pettigrew with the Lions. Number 8, Tony Gonzalez. I'm sorry. I said 7, Brandon Pettigrew. Number 6, Tony Gonzalez. I'm sorry. Number 5, Vernon Davis of the Niners. Number 4, Aaron Hernandez with the Patriots. Number 3, Antonio Gates of the Chargers. Number 2, Jimmy Graham. He's almost always at the top. And number 1, the Gronker, Rob Gronkowski. Again, the Patriots sporting the only team that has two tight ends almost in the top 10 every single week. And that's just how well Belichick and Tom Brady use those tight ends. To the wide receivers this week, number 10, Hakeem Nicks. Number 9, Victor Cruz. Number 8, Roddy White. Number 7, Percy Harvin. Number 6, A.J. Green. Number 5, Stevie Smith. Number 4, Larry Fitzgerald, the most unsung. What a waste of talent on that squad right now. If they had someone to throw to Larry Fitzgerald, he'd probably be number 1 almost every week. Number 3, Julio Jones in Atlanta. Number 2, Andre Johnson in Houston. Number 1 this week, Megatron himself, Calvin Johnson. Now, there's a bit of an oxymoron. You got the number 1 wide receiver, yet you think the number 1 defense in the Niners can shut them down. Okay, but yet still, Matthew Berry, Harris, Carabell, Cockcroft, Vincent, all of us seem to think that Calvin Johnson is still the number one guy. I would lean that Andre Johnson may see more. Again, Matt Schaub's not throwing a lot of touchdown passes from the fantasy world right now, but that's still Andre Johnson. That's still Matt Schaub, and they can get it done. The other side of the equation, and I don't see it on here, I guess there's still not much love for the Denver wideouts. We may see Demaryius Thomas start to get some love here pretty quickly. I do see Brandon Lloyd just down a little bit at number 14. I got a funny feeling. You're not going to see a Denver wideout for a while, but once they start to establish that thing, if this team gets to rolling, that could be a lot of fun for Denver. There was once upon a time when, the Rob are you serious? I just had a brain spike. Anyway, Denver had wideouts that were in the top 10. So let's move on to the running backs. The top 10 this week, starting Jamaal Charles in Kansas City. Number 9, Marshawn Lynch in Seattle. Number 8, DeMarco Murray. Number 7, C.J. Spiller. Maurice Jones-Drew comes in at number 6. Number 5, AP himself, Adrian Peterson, after a great week last week. Number 4, Darren McFadden in Oakland. Number 3, LaShawn Shaney McCoy. Number two, Ray Rice. And number one this week, again, Arian Foster, the Houston Texans. And that's all playing the whole matchup game. Let's now turn our love to your favorite position, and very seldom mine these days, the quarterback. Top 10 quarterbacks to start in the Stardoms and Sit-Ups segment today. Michael Vick, number 10. Number 9, Robert Griffin III, and he gets to the top 10 on week 2 as a rookie. Wow. Number 8, Tony Romo. Number 7, Peyton Manning. Number 6, his brother Eli Manning. Number 5, Matt Ryan. Number 4, Matthew Stafford. Number 3, Cam Newton. That's all matchup driven. Number 2, Drew Brees. And number 1 this week, purely because of who he is and who he's throwing to, Tom Brady. Now, depending on who you ask, you could have gone 1 or 1A with Brees and Brady this week, easily. I see a little love for Cam Newton at 3, Matthew Stafford at 3, all based on the matchup. I'm not sure why you think Matthew Stafford should be there with Cam. I mean, Cam's going up against the New Orleans defense. Stafford's going up against the Niners. But, you know, such is the number that's there. I do see why you put Robert Griffin in the top 10 this week. If you're looking at who's facing who in the matchups, Phillip Rivers is going up against Tennessee. He may actually put up some numbers there, but, you know, again, Tennessee historically has had a good defense and always played well. But that's, well, and I think a lot of us have had the departure of Vincent Jackson. That's why Phillip Rivers is probably out of the top 10 this week. Tony Romo at number 8 against Seattle's defense, which Seattle's defense is good. Again, I would have thought Peyton Manning would have been a little higher in our rankings this week, but such is the case. I think it's just maybe it's just that Eli's got one more Super Bowl than his brother Peyton. I know, that's a cheap shot. All right, blame it on my head, not my heart. All right, okay, maybe not. 10:46 for your Sunday morning, the pregame show before the pregame show. We do need to touch on the one referee now who has been removed from a game. Now, I don't know if you've heard this yet. Maybe this is something that hasn't quite gotten to your doorstep just yet. But Brian Strapolo, and I want to say that name right, the replacement referee, has been pulled from the Saints-Carolina Panthers game because there is a history. And, again, I kind of feel for the guy because the reality is he's a fan. And a lot of these guys, this is a replacement referee now. He's a fan of the Saints. He's had pictures taken with him and his wife at Saints games. He's worn Saints gear. And, again, someone has simply exposed this guy as a Saints fan. And the bottom line is he was going to work the Panthers-Saints game. He simply should have come forward and said, hey, listen, I've been a long-term Saints fan. You know, I've got tickets or I've been to games, whatever the case may be. And that probably the whole thing doesn't even become newsworthy. The fact that he apparently didn't brings into question the whole – you know, replacement referees and where their loyalties lie and the credibility of the National Football League at this point. We've already seen it for the first couple of weeks in the season and through some preseasons. These replacement referees have come from the college game. A lot of them are lower leagues, so to speak. And I hate the word lower, but other leagues certainly. And not only are the rules in some cases a little bit different, but certainly they're not looking for the illegal contact penalty, which apparently is rampant in the National Football League. You've got corners and linebackers grabbing jerseys, holding guys left and right, that your regular referees, you know, normally would call these guys are simply missing it. And they're missing it, and the camera's catching it. Unfortunately, the first week may not have been so glaring, but you saw it in the Green Bay-Chicago game. You saw it quite a bit last week where referees just were not calling the illegal contact or the defensive holding penalties going across the middle. And, again, it's not something that was called in the game that they may have come from. So you don't see it called as such. But every time they show a replay and you see a tight end come across the middle and a linebacker is either bumping him or grabbing his jersey to slow him down or whatever, and that ball goes flying past him, the one thing the tight end is looking for is certainly that flag that he normally would have seen had the regular referees been there. Well, guess who's not there? And the other referees, again, it's not so much as an indictment. You can't expect them to grab this and gravitate to it in a couple of months. The game is much faster. These players are much bigger. And they're making, again, quick decisions on the fly. Now, should they have it right? Absolutely, they should get it right. Money's on the line. These guys are getting paid as if they're the officials of the National Football League. And yeah, if the intent for between now and week 5 is to resolve the issue with the regular referees, you need to go ahead and get that done because the game is starting to. Like it or not, the game's affected. And when you blow calls, games are affected. But I don't want to be one of those homers. So let me just run this by you. This is the side judge. Brian Strapolo is a fan of the Saints, according to his Facebook page. has been now pulled from the assignment Sunday morning. Again, they showed up at the stadium with the regular officials where he met NFL officials. The NFL was unaware of Cipolla's open allegiance as a Saints fan until ESPN contacted the league Sunday morning. Cipolla, who's from New Orleans area and lists himself on Facebook as an NFL side judge, posted pictures of himself in Saints gear tailgating at an August 25th preseason game. Cipolla did not work the game against the Texans, but he was assigned to Sunday's game in Carolina. There are several photos on Cipolla in Saints gear on his Facebook page. Cipolla's status updated drew 73 likes and a comment such as, "Hey, now be nice with those yellow flags for our Saints. And that's awesome. You get to be an official for a Saints game. I didn't think they would let you since you're from Louisiana." Well, duh. The NFL Referee Association was locked out in early June, and talks on the new collective bargaining agreement have gone nowhere. The league has said replacement officials are subject to the same background checks and ethical standards of the locked-out officials. A league executive conceded, at the very least, an appearance of impropriety warranted Sunday's action. Well, there you go. And that is the truest statement of that whole thing. Thank you, ESPN and people of Chris Mortensen and Adam Schefter and those guys who basically are on top of that story. Our friends at ESPN will be following this and keeping us up to date on as that whole story tends to unfold. And again, at least for today, you won't see him on the sidelines of the Carolina. Well, you might. You'll probably see him in the stands. I don't know that he'll have much to do, much of an impact on the game, obviously, if he's not going to be an official. So take his fandom up in the stands and enjoy the game. Let's see. Outsiders have been told to sit Tony Romo in the fantasy world and start Ryan Fitzpatrick. Wow. Let's get a little more to that fantasy love. Hang on a second. Yeah, 9 minutes. 9 minutes to go in the ride. Starts and sits. This is a different perspective for some of you guys that are on the fantasy side of football. Alfred Morris, and Redskins, owned only by 18.2% of ESPN leagues, is a find if you can find him out there. Jonathan Dwyer, running back, Pittsburgh Steelers. Randall Cobb, wideout for the Green Bay Packers, owned by only 13.4% of the league. Kevin Ogletree, a lot of people are starting to see Ogletree maybe the real deal in Dallas after the two-touchdown performance against the Giants. We'll see. He's up only owned by 49.8% of the league, though. Dexter McCluster, the wideout from Kansas City, only owned by 3.9%. Brandon LaFell, the wideout in Carolina, only owned by 19.2%. Stephen Hill, the wideout with the New York Jets, only owned by 7.4%. These guys have put up numbers so far. Kobe Fleener, the tight end in Indianapolis, 23.3%, had a good game against Chicago. Leagues a little bit deeper, if you can get yourself a James Jones, only owned by 13.2%, or an Alshon Jeffrey out of the Bears. If you really have to go deep, Christian Ponder, the quarterback of the Vikings, who can put up some numbers, is only owned by less than 4% of the leagues. Jeremy Curley, the wideout with the Jets, less than 1%. Martellus Bennett, the tight end of the Giants. There's a steal, I think, right there, if you can get that, only owned by 36% of the league. Dennis Pitta, Baltimore Ravens, owned by less than 3%. Now, I don't know if LeSure is going to actually get on the field for the Lions. If he does, that could be a hidden find. He's only owned by 17.8%, but I think that's one I'd probably shy away from anyway. 10:52 for your Sunday morning. Again, the pregame show before the pregame show. I want to thank each and every one of you for making the Fast 60-Minute Sports the hit that it is. I want to thank you for, again, all the live listens and all the archive listens as we do the show. 619-639-4747 is the number to be a part of the show. It is the pregame show before the pregame show. So somewhere around the nation within the next 7 minutes, all your Fox and CBS affiliates will be firing up and getting ready for their wonderful Sunday entertainment of the National Football League. Tonight, the Sunday night broadcast will be on NBC. Tomorrow night's Monday Night Football will be on NBC. I'm sorry, it was ESPN's and some ABC affiliates. So for those of you getting your fixes on, and hopefully you've already finished all your cooking off your grills, you've gotten all the drippings off, you've already rubbed down your ribs, and all the fun stuff you're going to do to enjoy your Sunday. If you're tailgating and you're listening to us via your mobile devices or your laptops or whatever you're using, enjoy the good food, have yourself a cold one, and behave yourself, ladies and gentlemen. Do me a favor, behave yourselves, okay? I know it's turning fall. The leaves have basically started to fall off everything, and we're excited. There's a little nip in the air as winter is coming across the countries. But behave yourselves, all right? The last thing we need is for any of you all to fall by the wayside. We love you. We want you to be around for a long, long time. And the bottom line is, you're good people. So enjoy your day. Enjoy your family. Enjoy your friends. Have yourselves a great day of National Football League action. For those of you following the baseball, I am rooting for the Baltimore Orioles. It is so exciting to see the Orioles relevant once again. I'm beside myself. I want the Orioles to do something special. So we're going to hold out a little optimism where that is concerned. Yeah, and I'm not one to root that the Yankees lose. I just need the Orioles to simply win and win. Al Davis, just win, baby. Just win. For those of us in Middle Earth and Chicago market, it's been a rough go with the Cubbies, but then again, they're rebuilding. The White Sox, we're holding out hope that they can stave off the Tigers and with that one-game lead. The Blackhawks and the NHL situation is just an ugly one, so... again, but between now and next Sunday, I'll probably start ripping into the separation between owners and players, where this lockout is concerned. Again, for those of us who are fans, you take away one of the nice things, the nice niceties in this life for those of us who enjoy sports and enjoy hockey, enjoy the speed of the game, enjoy the excitement of the game. You know it's a shame when EA Sports can take advantage of the league's stupidity or inability to provide the entertainment and capitalize on the fact that those of us who can't necessarily see live hockey will now be playing it on a video game. And that you ran the hockeydom all the way over to EA Sports. They're going to pay $60 one time to play an entire several seasons and God knows how many more on a video console as opposed to taking that money and going to a venue and seeing it live. Way to go, NHL. Way to go, Bettman. And again, I'm not throwing him under the bus. He's not alone in this, but you're the commissioner. It's your league. Handle it. All right? To the people in Richland Park, Illinois, I love you, and there's nothing you can do about it. To the people around the world, I love you, and there's nothing you can do about it. Leona, I love you. My friends, my fans, don't forget the Vincent Imaging-sponsored birthday party for the CEO himself is December the 7th. So you heard it here first. For those of you on that guest list, there's nothing you can do about it. You come on down, come to Chicago, have a great party. That's all in the first weekend of December. We look forward to it, and we love you guys. We're going to basically call it a show. That's it for today. If there's anything else, I don't know what it is. We got to do what? Oh, that's one bill we didn't pay? All right, we'll run this, and then we'll come back, and we'll wind it down. Talk to you in a minute.
We're here asking people from all over what they think of Lipton green tea. Let's hear what people from Texas have to say.
Mm-mm.
How about China?
Mmm.
Germany?
Mmm.
How about people from the North Pole?
Mmm.
Or Mars? What about mimes? Oh, right. People with their jaws wired shut?
Oh.
Yeah, a barbershop quartet. Oh, you guys are great. How about race car drivers?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, what about you, high school glee club, here on a field trip?
Mm-hmm.
Well, that settles it. It sounds like everyone loves the taste of Lipton green tea. With its protective antioxidants from real tea, it's not just good for you, it's to you. Lipton tea can do that.
So I'm at the game with my boys, and the Cougars are getting killed. I mean, it's getting ugly, like 69 to nothing ugly. But I convinced everyone to stick it out because the concession stand sells their leftover cheeseburgers for $1 after the game. After enduring the beatdown, we discovered that the Department of Health has put a nix on the whole selling leftover stadium burgers thing. The guys were not happy with me, but I told them, no sweat, let's go to McDonald's. The Dollar Menu offers a fresh, warm, juicy, 100% beef cheeseburger along with seven other wonderful options every day. And you don't have to sit through the game to get it. We learned you can't always count on your team, but you can always count on the Dollar Menu.
You're listening to the fastest 60 minutes in sports. Okay, that's a great little promo that you guys come out of the commercial with. And, you know, you're listening to the Fast News. That's great. I'm not sure it was turned up. Do me a favor, guys. Just for the sake of craps and giggles. All right. Roll that last place one more time. You're listening to the Fastest 60 Minutes in Sports. That's really good. All right. Thank you very much. right, so as we wind it down again, it is week two of National Football League. Enjoy all your football acumen. Thank you all for being a part of the Fastest 60 Minutes in Sports. Thank you all for your archives. Thank you all for playing it back. Thank you all for downloading it. Again, we're going to continue to do more things from wherever we're at in this world. Next week, I am traveling up into the Northern Territories. I have no idea exactly what that means, but I promise you all we'll have cameras and we'll take some pictures and we'll post all those on our Facebook page. Check us out on Facebook, The Fastest 60 Minutes in Sports, as well as the Events and Imaging page. And, of course, for those of you who want to see what Big Head looks like, you can check out my Facebook page as well. Have yourselves a great weekend. Enjoy yourselves. Be safe. I love you, and there's nothing you can do about it. We'll see you next time, only on the Fastest 60 Minutes in Sports.